Welcome
to the Odd Jobs Podcast with myself, Kat Higgins.
And me, Ribika.
You are very welcome back. We have a really lovely episode for you guys today. We have the wonderful Dan McKeown on as our guest.
Oh, such a wonderful, wonderful
boy. What a lovely, the definition, I would say, of a lovely boy.
Yeah.
What a delightful chap.
And also, really fun episode.
Very fun episode. Very much someone I think who embodies having lots of odd jobs.
Yeah.
He's exactly the kind of guy we were looking for.
Honestly, very true. And to understand why I laughed that much, you got to continue listening.
You got to keep listening. We'll get into the episode. Just beforehand, bit of housekeeping again. Reminder, we are on Patreon.
You get extra content on Patreon.
Extra. Read all about it.
Oh, for free. A lovely little tea break. That's what we call it.
Yeah.
And then
you can hear much more. I've had feedback actually from listeners to the podcast who were like, oh, I feel like we talk about the guests though, so we don't always hear about you and Ruby. And I was like, well, if you want to hear about me and Ruby,
then you gotta listen to the tea break.
You gotta listen to the tea break. Because the gloves come off slightly at the tea break. Shit gets real.
Yeah, and whatever platform you're listening on, oh my God, if you like it.
Tell people.
You can give it a little like. You can give it a little rate.
If it's on Spotify, you can star rate. Yeah. On Apple Podcasts, you can star rate and review. Mm. On YouTube, you could leave a nice comment. On Patreon, I think you can leave nice comments as well.
Yeah.
What other platforms are we on?
Yeah.
I think those are most of them. If you're somewhere else, if you can write to us and let us know.
If you can find a way to share the love, why not?
Yeah, please do. We're a new podcast and we'd love for people to hear about us and enjoy the content more.
But otherwise, yeah, I feel like you're here. You're our favourites for being here.
Yeah.
So please enjoy the episode.
Enjoy! I like that when people are like, oh, Irish people all know each other and they're drunk all the time and they're like fighting. I'm like, excuse me. Yeah. To be fair, actually, I don't counteract. Not all Irish people are like me, but I am what people expect of an Irish person.
Like, hey, you can't say, hey, you got to be cool.
I actually know some very quiet and rude Irish people. I'm just not one of them.
Yeah. Don't shrink the spectrum.
Sober,
of rude.
Quiet, rude Irish people exist. We just keep them.
Keep them onto the side. Yeah, it's
because they're no fun at parties.
No crack. We don't want
that. Yeah, they're just rude.
I enjoy your second guest to come with Ty.
Thank you. Yes, I like to dress up for podcast appearances. I treat it like people did flying in the 50s. I'm just like, what a day out I'm having. Going on the wireless and having a little recording.
It's so true. People used to. Do you know what I love as well? Do you ever go out to like a show or the theater? And I feel like probably as comics, like we're out at gigs, shows, stuff all the time. So you're like, da da da. But like a while ago, I went to the National Theatre and there was like some older people, and you could tell they'd like dressed up for the theatre.
Yeah, it is.
And
nice.
I was like, oh, I should have dressed up. I should have done that.
Me and Eileen, my wife for the listen. I don't know if we're recording this or if this
is
the preamble.
Yeah, we are.
But we went to the Rainforest Cafe and we decided to dress up, and we got like I had like a bow.
I love like a bow tie.
Because the Rainforest Cafe, I want this on record. It's one of the worst places in the whole world. But it's just a terrible place.
I went for my birthday a couple of years ago because I was like, it's so funny. I want to go to the Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah.
And so it would have been my like 24th birthday. And I went because I was like, this is hilarious. And my family all came down and we went and we were the only table full of adults.
No, literally, we had the same thing because we thought like, wouldn't it be so funny to pretend it's my birthday and pretend it's like my like 35th birthday or something like that. It was like, it's actually quite a big birthday for me dressed up at the Rainforest Cafe. But then did they sing the song to you?
Yeah.
Because they did that and halfway through, I had lied. It wasn't my birthday, but I said it was my birthday.
Yeah.
And they're singing it with such... We were like some irony poison pair, and they were very earnestly wanting me to have the best day ever. And I was just like, oh, I'm a real piece of shit. That was bad. And then there's a video of me, and I'm just like, oh, thanks, guys. It's so cool.
The shame hit you right around then.
There's so many animals. Oh, my God.
I've never been.
But then it's overpriced. The food is meh. Yeah. And then it's quite dark.
It's like there's no windows. It's underground.
You're in a rainforest, Ruby.
Yeah.
But no sunlight.
The trees. It's hard to get through the forest.
And there's an animatronic gorilla who waves at you.
Wait, really?
Yeah. So
God, you're actually making me want to go.
But this is that's what gets you in, you're like, wow, it actually sounds good. And then you get there and go, oh, there's something about this that's deeply miserable.
Just go to Snakes and Ladders if you want the forest experience inside.
What the fuck is Snakes and Ladders? Snakes and Ladders,
you know, like, it's like a gym. It's like a, not a gym, it's like a it's like a playpen for kids. And you go in and you crawl
You mean like a soft play?
A soft play, yes.
Yeah, I worked as a nanny. We'll get into it, but I worked as, speaking of jobs.
Yeah,
on the odd jobs podcast. See, I knew we'd get there.
Yeah, we just had to find it.
Just circling the drain for a while.
Let me finish my point about why the consumer should not frequent the Rainforest Cafe, but it actually does cut to the core of you. with the hardworking, God salute you, the hardworking
to the people of the Rainforest Cafe who sang Dan happy birthday very earnestly when it was not his birthday.
Yeah, the reason I was so weird about it was because I was lying.
I feel like they probably knew.
But yeah, it was, but no, yes, yeah, Snakes and Ladders, is it's like a soft
play. So I worked as a nanny for, the job. I worked as a nanny for like 6 years, so I've been to many a soft place, so they hold no appeal to me. Yeah. I'm aware of how many bodily fluids are on those places.
Oh,
I am well aware.
Gross.
What do you think children are doing? Children are bodily fluids just walking around in physical form.
Right, on this disgusting note. Let's get started with the episode. So, Dan McEwan of Boy Boss fame from this Edinburgh Fringe, your debut show.
Yes, the very same.
As heard on BBC Radio.
And yes.
Short or hot shots runner up.
Comedian Dan McEwan, very welcome to the Odd Jobs podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so fabulous to be here. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're all right.
Sorry, the short or hot shots thing, it kind of threw me off.
Really?
I don't know if you did. Did you guys do that thing of trying what? To... There was this
trying to get chortled to give me a little start.
They were trying to get.
Hey,
they were trying to get.
Dan.
They were trying to. We were trying to get chortled to shell out £300 for the registration fees. So you do a little competition at the Birmingham Glee, and I think it was not a good show.
Really?
So I was like, it was trying to get £300. Yeah,
it's torn because I'm like, no, Dan, you were great, but also I fucking hate chortles. So like,
Those. It was. They were very nice about it, and it was supposed to be fun, but I think I was like lost near the end.
To be fun.
And it was just like, all right, well,
enough of that, because quite frankly, I saw your show in Edinburgh and it was bloody brilliant.
I haven't seen it, but I am planning to see it
on
the November the 11th.
Yes,
for all the listeners listening out there,
it's Armistice Day. we're trying to give back to the troops with one last boy boss.
For all
the boy bosses
look
out
at him
there,
all dressed like his boy boss with his own tie.
Thank you. Yeah, it's very wedding tie, isn't it? It's very like.
But I love it. I'm paired with the denim jacket. It's very fashionista.
Thank you. Yeah, I was. I tried extremely hard all morning before I came here. It was just 3 hours of trying on.
We appreciate it.
Does the denim go with the thing? but no, it was very nice when you came through. Actually, it was a nice day.
Because it's like but of like jokes, just hits.
I have seen Dan live many a time. I'm familiar,
and also lots of a very educational lesson on how to be a boy boss.
Yes, yeah.
I've been learning because I've been girl bossing for a while. I'd love to try a bit of boy bossing.
Yeah, do it. It's boys of all genders.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you reckon? What's the difference between boy bossing and girl bossing?
I think girl bossing is successful. But I feel like, but boy bossing is just kind of like making
He's
a big.
What?
You're just kind of not getting it right, and like, but kind of just styling it out. It's a bit like, it's like you kind of like if it was a walk, it would be
incompetence, just walking.
It's like weaponized incompetence, but against yourself. Like it's not. It's like harmless weaponized incompetence. It's like mutually assured destruction of weaponized incompetence. Like, we're not gonna use it, but like, if we are, it will be a mess. Yeah. It's sort of, I don't want to say Paddington. It is in Paddington, actually, where we're doing it, which feels actually weirdly on theme.
Right.
Not to say it's like Paddington. That's maybe giving us too much credit. It's just
No,
Paddington
I would say it's
Bear,
a cultural phenomenon up there with the Paddington movies.
I would say
your show is definitely going to stand in the annals of history right alongside the Paddington movie.
Yeah, it will be every show will have, like, boy boss in Peru, boy boss in...
marmalade sandwiches.
Yeah, boy boss up the Kaiba, like, all that stuff.
That you've got a marmalade sandwich hidden somewhere on you.
I do. I could go. I do like a sandwich. I'm a peanut butter butter. I do like a peanut butter sandwich. If we want to get into it, that's very American. Yeah. That is quite. Well, yeah. It was
actually, we don't want to get into your favorite sandwich.
Yeah, no, but we do want to get you into. Yeah, actually, no.
Is this not actually,
this is as fun as this is. Mm. We have written.
I feel like we might have given you. You thought this was the sandwich podcast, did you?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
yeah. It's Odd Jobs.
I thought it was the sealed pack. This is the sealed pack podcast. Yeah.
No. So we wanted to talk to you about your story, job history, because obviously now you are a very successful, impressive boy boss comedian.
Absolutely, yes.
We want to know about how you got here.
Yes, totally. Yeah. Well, in terms of, we're talking incompetence, it's been just swinging.
We want to know all about your incompetence.
Yeah, swinging vine to vine of just sort of half effort roles.
Well, how did that start? Yeah, so what was the first ever way that you made money?
I think the first way I made money was, it was pouring pints for different stadiums. So it was like a catering agency that sent you to Wembley and Twickenham on game
I've
days.
Done that. Wembley and Twickenham.
You know what? It's not about all the big ones. Yeah,
all the big boys.
I'm talking the O2. I'm talking Wembley.
Never made it to the O2.
It was. So you would just kind of pour pints, and then if you did it for a while, they let you prepare the hot dogs. So you would kind of pour. You'd pour all the big rubbery sausages into the oven thing, and like they would like bounce, and then give them.
That
to
was
people.
The hierarchy. Yeah. The lowest rung was doing.
You
the
got. You did.
Pints.
You, yeah, pints, and then you got to do bob. Bovril, which you got to give out Bovril.
Wait, I didn't make it to Bovril. Yeah, what?
They had these like, this was on, I can't remember where this was, but it was at where games happened, like rugby games.
A stadium, right?
A stadium, yeah. But it wasn't, sometimes it was where they did the training games, you know, where they do the smaller.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. So I did this a handful of times, but it sounds like you were in it.
It was like my first job, and it was mainly.
What age were you?
I was like 18. I think like as soon as I turned 18, I did voluntary work at a charity shop when I was like 17. For the experience, and then
I thought you were going to say for the what's it called? The in Ireland we call it the Gashka.
Oh, for the good of my heart.
Not for the charity.
Yeah.
The word in Irish for good of my heart is Gashka.
Yeah.
No. The one that where it's a royal person that gives you it. You hike
Duke of Edinburgh.
Oh,
there
Duke
you go.
Of Edinburgh. No, that's I never it. Did that. I never did Duke of Edinburgh. I thought it was beneath me. I thought, like, I didn't want to go. I was just like, because I knew people who did it, but I just never did it.
But you just did the because volunteering's part of that, right? So but you did the charity shop volunteering just for the experience.
So functional,
not to get an award.
No.
What was the best thing you like? Did you get to see the donations come in?
Yes, so I was mostly sorting donations, and then I was on the sort of shop floor, I guess, of just kind of waiting for people to come in, because it was like mostly Sundays, but it was very tactical in that I think my parents had said, like, you need to, when you're 18, you got to get a job, and you got to earn, you got to earn your own money and stuff. And then 18's
late.
I know. We could have. They were like, "All right, up until we'll let you have these wild years between 15 and 17." But it was. I mean, we did bake sales and stuff. But I think the first way I was like, it was regular pay slip money was the stadiums. Yeah, and it was quite fun. Like in retrospect, because you got to see. I wasn't. I don't know if you can tell this from, but I wasn't much of a sporty kid.
You're joking me.
So the stadium was a whole new world. I'm just like, wow, hear the noise and the
roar of the crowd.
You totally get it. I get it now. I see. It's just like a play or something. So I think that was sort of.
I don't know anyone who's gone to fucking Twickenham and been like, it's just like a play. I know what the Colosseum was about now.
It's like a Harold Pinter play. This is just the same. But it was very like, because my two older brothers were sporty, and they would do rugby and football and stuff, and would like to go to games with my dad.
Yeah.
Me and my younger brother just didn't really buy into it. So I think going, it was quite an experience that way.
Yeah.
And then it's sort of like you literally kind of just like, put all your stuff in, and then they make you count the money when you leave. That's the big thing. And so that's always quite weirdly intense, where you're just like, here it all is bagged up, and there's the money. We didn't take any, we're all good.
Yeah.
So that, and then you kind of slot in, so it's very functional, and it's like very, it's busy when it's busy, and then it's calm when it's calm. So you kind of, as far as like learning the ropes of pouring pints, it was quite good for that.
You say pouring pints, first thing you said was pouring pints, but from my recollection of working in the stadiums, you don't actually pour any pints. There's like a machine. Did you have this?
We pre-poured all the Guinnesses, and like we'd be like, get some Guinnesses ready to go.
Again, very easy to anticipate when and how busy you will be. You're like,
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
Half time, after. Yeah. But when I worked in the stadium, they had this like thing, and I've seen it at festivals as well, where it's like you put out like nine like of those disposable shite cup things, and it like is like a pump that like pours all of them in a go. Have you seen this?
I've seen them. I haven't used them.
That was really fun to use.
I don't know
the
if
stadium.
I ever saw it.
And it not everyone was allowed to operate it, but I was allowed to operate the multi-pint pour, as I called it.
That's incredible.
It was real good.
That's mechanization's taken the job.
Yeah, exactly. AI. It's coming for all of us.
It's not AI that'll take your job. It's someone who knows how to work the pint pouring device.
Exactly. I was doing the work of three barmaids.
Yeah. Just auto-generating pints.
Yeah.
Standing up at pouring pints.
Yeah.
Then you did Bovril.
Then Bovril, because like in the winter time, like people would sometimes want coffee or tea, or so you would kind of have these like rip that off.
What's and it was Bovril?
Like it's like gravy, water.
Yeah,
basically.
But then you said tea and coffee. Where are we getting gravy from?
Well, it was just you had three. They were like pre-packeted like hot drinks. So it was like instant coffee where you could pour it into basically a similar cup. A delivery system, and then one that was for Bovril and one that was for
people just wanted.
I
want to
say the Bovril was not popular. It was mostly tea and coffee. Yeah, it was
a cup of gravy.
Basically, like a cup of thin gravy, so it's more drinkable, like a soup. I guess it's like a soup. It's very like,
also down south.
I feel like that sounds
like a real northern.
No,
thing.
I know. I mean, if northerners saw this
northern
Bovril,
boys,
yeah,
gravy.
It was pond scum.
That gravy's too thin, though.
It was way too thin. It was like there was no. No corn flour in this bad boy.
Okay.
It wasn't very popular. Although I did one time see Richard Osman come to the. I did once serve him. Not Bovril. He didn't go for Bovril.
Oh.
I don't think.
You were going to give us the inside scoop.
The rest
is entertainment is propped up on Bovril. Bovril alone.
Running on Bovril.
We're coming for
you,
Osman.
Yeah, we know it's. It was very. That is probably the most. Like, and I mean this like derogatorily, like English sentence of like, I served Richard Osman Bovril at the game day. Like, it sounds like a World War II story.
Please
like,
tell me it was cricket, your ass.
Yeah, it was. What was it? It was Ascot. That's what it was.
There you go.
At
Ascot, nice and posh.
That's what you got up to. I did the champagne box.
Oh, wow,
at
you
Ascot.
Really worked your way off.
Yeah. Because you could do it like every week if you wanted to. Yeah. And people, it was like not their full time job, but like people were working a lot of those things, and you had to pop it. And I remember because I knew you get pretty cocky with it because you're just like, because it's always champagne, so you're like all the time popping it.
Popping bottles.
But then when I started working in the pub, I was cocky about it, and then my boss was like, can you do Prosecco? And I was like, yeah, I can do that. And then I like slipped, and the lid went like boom boom boom, and then he was like, so you can do it, yeah. And I was like, no, the wasted years in the champagne mines of like,
Ascot.
I know, just like sleep, because you had to put them in these nice plastic bags and stuff. Yeah, so yeah, it was quite.
A
lot of
plastic
like,
bag. Go
yeah,
back.
How, these, wait, like, are you putting the champagne
in like ice.
The
so basically, like an ice. You give them the bottle, but then they want some glasses with it. So you shovel in some ice into this little like carrier bag so they can carry it with them. So it's like, you know, when you put champagne on ice.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
It's like that, but
with
more
handles.
Functional because they're in a stadium, so they're like doing stuff.
Fucking hell.
So pretty cool, yeah, pretty good.
Posh people have like mobile champagne pockets running around.
Yeah, basically. Well, because have you seen that ad for Ascot recently where they're like, meet your Ascot self, and I'm just like, no one ever should meet their Ascot self.
No.
That's like, you never come back from your Ascot self if they're like running around in the full button-up thing in the top hat, being like, "What's my buddy?"
What's really
champagne?
Funny
like,
is where I'm from in Ireland is like mad for horses. Like where it's like there's like three racetracks in my county, like it's really big. Mm-hmm. So I grew up going to the races, but not in that like there's one in my parish, and our school would close when that race is won because the roads would turn into like a one-way system.
Mm-hmm.
So you like couldn't get to school, so they were like, yeah, we'll just give you some of your school holidays now.
Yeah.
And so we'd all go as kids, but like it's one of them where like me and my mates would, you'd started off as a child going to just the fun fair that was at the races,
right? I see.
And then you'd graduate to like being 15-16 and like putting on a dress and heels and pretending and like sneaking in a bottle of vodka.
That is so sick.
And just
though.
drinking, but like nowhere at the races that are near my house. Like the Irish races are like full of like don't get me wrong, there's like sort of posh Irish people, but like weird horse people.
Yes.
Me and my mates just at a fun fair drunk at 16. I'm like, there was no champagne plastic bag buckets.
Truly, no, that is not. That's like real race fans though. That's like these guys getting all dressed up. They don't care about the horses. Like these are real. The ones you were at, they were like, we care about the race.
I mean, I didn't.
It was a fun place to be.
Yeah. It was just in my parish.
Yeah.
How long did you do this job for? Yeah. Were you
I think
them?
It was a couple of years, and then because you're like, I want more, I want steady.
So
I
would years.
Just, I would. It was at least a year or two, because then I got
a
job.
Doing this alongside studying, or
yeah, it was like at sixth form, and then doing that, and then I got a job in a pub because it was just simpler. It was like I'm doing the same thing, and I don't have to run around and commute. Like I can just like. Do work in the park.
I like that
I can do this anywhere. Yeah. Do this. You know, the full ice, lemon. But we had so that was a couple years. It was sort of like it was a good way to get the lice. Like, oh, I've got bar experience now. And like, because you know how it is with like when they do the interview and they're like, can you. I remember I had like a, like we wanted to see if you're, when I was joining a pub, they were like, we want to see if you can do it.
Oh, but a trial shift.
Yeah. But I got there and they were basically like, yeah, fuck it. Seem like you looked at the, because back then you could hand in your CV to places. And
I know.
And, but it was very, they as soon as they're like, yeah, you're fine. Like, just crack on.
I remember, because I would like, sometimes I'd be given the responsibility of watching the person who's on trial shift and deciding whether they will pick them for our team. And the fact of the matter is, pub work, you will always get picked because they always need someone on the team. And I'm like, why am I watching?
Are they vaguely competent?
Yeah. And then also, they have the thing of, I had the way I was taught when I joined this, that was like kind of my second official job was working in the pub. It was a Sam Smith pub. And they showed, they were given, I know, right? Like, not
immediately, I thought singer first.
No,
I wish it was actually the opposite. I think, honestly, if that Sam Smith that owned that pub found out about singer Sam Smith, it would not be either. It was like polar opposite. Like, I feel like Sam Smith, the singer, had a pub, it'd be like, a place for everyone, you know? But this place was not that. We could talk about, but what I was going to say was like, I was shown the way, they were like, this is how you do the coffee machine, this is how you do the clothes. Yeah. And then someone later was like, yeah, they don't know how to do the clothes right. So this is actually what you have to do.
Oh, yes.
Because they would just be lazy. And it was like, if you actually want to help the next guy. Or like, that's how I saw it. I was like, well, no, it's more helpful for you if I leave that stuff. Which I was always, I get very solidarity with in those days of just like, this, I'm doing it for you and for us. Like,
it's for the team.
Yeah, I don't care about
I'll restock
Sam Smith.
The fridge. Yeah.
Or his beers, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was the second job, yeah. Because it was just easier, because otherwise, and also,
faffing around.
The worst person I trial shift, said I didn't want them. I went to my manager and I was like, no. And then we ended up hiring them, and then my manager worked with them for one shift and then went, they're gone.
Oh my God.
And I was like, good.
That's
but
so
the,
funny.
There were lots of little things, but the one that really made me go, no, was that. They were pouring, I was like, oh, can you do me a lemonade, pint of lemonade, please? They picked up the lemonade gun, because I was like, oh, you pick up the soda gun?
Yeah.
And they went, cool. And they pointed at the button that said lemon, and went, is it this one?
Oh, bless.
And I went, no, it's whole lemons. Like, yes, I wanted lemonade!
That'd be so silly, like, just a lemon for you, all right? Glop, glop. That was like Spy Kid style, yeah.
But I'm a very patient person, but on that day,
I mean, it didn't seem like you were that day.
Yeah, I want to live
in... No, because that was like the seventh thing in a row, but I'm not...
Fair. Ruby's like, I'm dyslexic. And I'm like, someone just goes, can I just double check that says that? For fuck's sake!
Get out of here. You will never work in this town.
If you ever cross my path again, you uncomprehensive fuck.
You're on like the Diary of a CEO. Like, people just don't know how to fucking work anymore. Yeah. Like, these kids, they think...
Give them a soda gun.
They just want that. They think a lemon gun exists. So they can just get a lemon if they press a button. Like,
hey, when life gives you lemons.
Yeah. Well, I had
Ruby will fire you.
I will say but I have been in that situation because I worked in Olenstein, the cafe. This was years after.
Yeah.
And we had a guy to come in and he did a trial shift and it was a 2-hour shift to like practice. And they were a little more corporate, so they were legit.
Yeah.
And he had to take 12 toilet breaks in the 2 hours that we were there. And I was like, that's weird. That's pretty weird. Like, he was like, I'm just going to go. I was like, I'll tell him, like,
you counted.
I would do
at what point did you start counting?
It was the third time.
Okay, yeah.
And
fair.
I was just like, all right, I'm going to. That's weird. Maybe I might be exaggerating. It might have been 6 times in 2 hours. But it was still enough to notice. I was like, you need to pee
that's,
a lot.
Yeah,
dude.
That's how.
My manager asked me afterwards, because she was like, so what do you think, Jelly? Do you think we could? And I was like, I don't want to blow up his spot, or like, you know, because I was like, we've all got to work.
I'm sorry,
like,
you're sat here in a suit and a giant shirt going, I don't want to blow up his
yeah,
spot.
Yeah, I'm not trying to. I'm just, excuse me, sir. I wouldn't want to disrupt your situation. But we had.
I wouldn't want to rumple any feathers.
You're just like, listen, I don't know what you've got going. Like, yeah. Because, like, we all, in my head, I was like, it was the first time I didn't do a lot of, like, I think it was the first time I was given, like, a slightly more admin-y job. Of,
authority?
Like, of, like, oh, you've been here long enough, you can train the new guy. And then, so I was like, he does need a job. Like, you know, it's a cafe. Like, so I said, like, yeah, he was fine. Nothing to report. And then he got fired within a week as well.
Yeah, he was probably doing lines of coke in the bathroom. Like, going, dude, you need to pee a lot.
Yeah. I was like, are you okay with your bladder? Like,
10 times
on?
In like, 2 hours is not peeing down.
No, I know, yeah.
Either had the runs severely and shouldn't have been around anybody's food.
And the coke doesn't help with the runs.
I was about to say, or it was the coke-induced runs.
But he also, like, it was a bit weird because it was, I mean, not, it was quite a lot weird, but, like, he was also, the fact that he needed a quick snifter after, like, it was like, okay, so here's how the milk comes out in this nice way. And he was like, I need a bath.
I need to sit and just take in this information.
Yeah, it was. Well, that milk has made me need to go again real bad. It was,
yeah.
But so it was. It was, but it, I don't know, it is a thing of, like, I should have made, in retrospect, I was like, probably would have helped everyone to say, like, look, I don't know, this was weird. He did do that.
You should have been a boss boy, not a soft boy.
Yeah, and that's nice. That's part of the journey.
Bars.
And, what was the thing that you wanted to do when you were little? Like, have you gone into, like, doing hospitality and stuff? But, like,
I think I did because I liked...
Baby Dan want to do?
Yeah, what baby Dan
wanted to
do?
I think I wanted to be...
Obviously not a sports star. We've ruled that out.
I think... Okay, we found actually a list of... I found a when I was younger, when I was about 15, it must have been 15, I found an old notebook, and it was things with written... I'd written, like, goals to do when I'm older.
Oh!
And one of them... I think I did want to be an archaeologist because I really liked Indiana Jones and I thought it was like that.
Yeah.
And then I wanted, and then I really, and then I think I did want to. Be, I just, oh, it's so embarrassing. I did want to be, I think, like an actor, and then
that's not embarrassing. You're a comedian. It's, a bit, it's
yeah,
not that embarrassing.
It's all coming out now. It's all. Like, I didn't want. To
I can't
do this.
Believe
I didn't want
a comedian wanted to be an actor was, and then took a side note.
Because I did. Because
that's
did,
only every comic I've ever met ever.
Yeah. Literally, it was. I did like stagecoach as a kid. As well, so I did like the singing and dancing and acting.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Just do 1 hour of dance. Do you guys know Stagecoach?
I knew it. I didn't go to it.
Well, actually, it was a little bit. They're a little bit scammy, Stagecoach, because they do a kids' agent. So basically, I did the Saturday morning. You do singing. You do an hour of singing, an hour of dance, an hour of acting.
Okay.
And
this for the Irish any listeners. I think it's Billy Barry Kids.
Yeah.
That was
It was
Billy Barry Kids would like Billy get on ads.
Billy Barry Kids is way better ring to it.
Yeah.
That's like
It was also a lot of money, Stagecoach.
Yeah. Well, when you Billy were Barry in the was, agency, when you were in, they had a kids
had
agency,
agency,
but you had to pay even if you didn't get work, and that was the thing. It was like regular. Which is weird because it's just like your kids are not gonna fucking make it. I'm getting my money now. Your kid is not gonna fucking.
Yeah.
Your kid is not on Game of Thrones. Like, you aren't gonna make it.
Okay, Dan, tell us though, what was the greatest save that you've ever made in work? Like a mistake you fixed, or
this is still
a time when you came in clutch.
Yeah. So I was thinking about this because I haven't told anyone this before. Well, I was a receptionist for a marketing collective, so I was just like, the day job was being a receptionist, and then, and it was in Covent Garden, and then that night I had to MC at a night called Soho Comedy Factory.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So it was nearby,
right?
Yes. And a great night, shout
out
Thor.
Shout out Thor.
Is Thor still running? I don't know.
I don't know. Thor runs every gig.
But still great, still good stuff. And anyway, I was emceeing that, and I got a call from the security guy. So you trade hands with the security guy at the end of my shift.
Yes.
And he calls me, he goes like, hey, one of the cleaning ladies is stuck in the lift because they had this mini lift that was like for hospitality. It was like a like a dumbwaiter, services, basically, like a service lift. And he's like, hey, he's, and I was just like, hi, like, why? And I was at mid MC, so I just got off, and I was like, why are you calling? Like, and I was like, he only had my number, I think. So I was like, okay, all right, don't worry, just I'll run back. So I had to get on, and then I was like, hey man, I'm really sorry. Like one of the comedians, I was like, can you? Someone's stuck in a lift. I have to run back, and he MC'd the rest of the night. So I was like halfway through,
mid gig MC.
I was like, I'm so sorry. Like I'll give you the fee, and like, you know, just I'll just like help me. I'm just because someone's stuck in the lift. So I run back, and then I'm there with the security guy, and I think. The security guy, he hadn't really done anything. So I got there, I was like, so have you called the fire people, or like, what's going on?
And he was like, why is it your job? And he was like, no,
because I was like running back over, because I was like, oh no, they're trapped, they might be in trouble. And then so then I was like, all right, I'll call so I call the firemen, and then they send like 8 guys, and they're all Heath Haydens, they're all like coming through like strapping
that
young.
That reference has been cut out. Oh, I see.
okay then, for the viewer, just picture the sexiest men. They literally, but they said like, it was basically, what happened was it broke, and it was like a really old fashioned, it was literally one of those ones you had to push the button and it would go down. And then they were like, okay, where's the, and they've got to, and they have the box, and they got to the box, and I was like, this is like the oldest box in the world. And then they were all kind of just hanging out, really, like they didn't have to send like
was
5
the,
guys
was
or
the
whatever.
Cleaner okay? Was she okay?
She was fine, she was just chilling, like she just couldn't get out. And then we got her down, and it was like, it literally, when they got there, it took about like 20 minutes to get her out.
Yeah.
And then I ran back to the gig, and I got back just as the guy taking over MC was like, and that's our show. It's just like, because in my head I was like, I can do both. Like I can save. I can be a receptionist and
I feel
swoop
like this is
in.
Like one of those moments in a film where it's like a mother who's like trying to have a job and also trying to look after her family, and there's like a real moment where she's at her work and the kid's sick or something, but you just
are
at a gig and there's someone stuck in a lift, and for some reason the receptionist is in charge of getting her out.
Truly, I was Aaron Brockovich. Yeah, I was trying to do it all. I was like,
so good if you managed to like get back like for like the break, and then you'd be like, anyone do anything good in their break?
Yeah. Well, that was the, I think I did get on stage and say like, guys, I'm really sorry, like I'm gonna have to switch over because I've got to quickly, there's a slight emergency I gotta go sort out. So it was a bit like, and then I got that, and I just felt, I mean, that gig was quite chaotic in those days, at least. It kind of, it's more formalized now, but I remember, and so it felt like weirdly, I just felt bad, but it was more like, I don't know why, I was like, well, the security guy was like, what do you do? Surely this is kind of your job.
Yeah.
Like, not to be that,
funny. Like, sounds like you were not needed at all.
No, it was like, that's, you could have just called the guy. Like, I said like, okay, just call the fire. But I didn't know what else to do. I felt like, because it was, I don't know, it was,
I like that you were like, I must help, rather than like, if I'd have got that call, I'd have been like, have you rang the fire brigade? And we're like, ring the fire brigade before you ring me.
I think I
can't do anything you can't do, mate.
Yeah, I,
you're
really
on the clock.
Yeah,
goodbye.
I'm making it sound like I ran in and saved the day, but like, it was like, I'm gonna run in and call the authorities. Someone,
call the handsome men to fix the problem.
Come on, guys, come on.
Follow me.
Yeah, cool.
I've assessed the situation. It is not my job.
Yeah, it is out of my control. So I'm gonna, but it was a bit, I think it was one of those, frankly, I mean, I don't mind chatting shit about this guy, but it was, I think it was one of those security companies, like, because I've worked for like stewarding companies, and you do work like security roles where you are like just a body in the room, and like, just, so
you're,
I think it was
insurance like requirements.
Yeah, and also it was through the night, like no one ever really came in, so it was like, I felt for him, because I was like, 5:30 to what, 9 when I come back in, like that's a big shift you gotta do, like and so that's, maybe that was why what motivated it, but bless him,
you're,
he was just like,
so nice.
I know, but that was like, that's literally the reason why he sat there.
Yeah, truly,
goes wrong for him to call someone.
Yeah, cool.
He doesn't even have to do anything else.
It was pretty crazy that he didn't have anyone else's number, because I think I had given it
999.
No, I had given him my number just as a courtesy, because I was just like, probably should,
if I'm ever running late or
shit like this. Yeah, like, just, it was literally like, just for ease.
Also,
but
what I really enjoy is that I was like, what's the biggest save you've ever made in work? And this was where you didn't really save anybody.
Yeah, literally the biggest save, and I was just like, but that was definitely
the biggest save I ever made was getting in the real saviors.
Yeah, just like, I'm the save getter, yeah.
But wait, speaking of these whimsy and like all these things, in a workplace, what is like the weirdest rule you've ever had to follow?
It was the same place,
in
actually.
In a workplace.
It was the same place that, I won't protect them. It was MSQ Partners. And
name and shame.
My manager was, And I've told this before, and my manager was not a great manager for a few different reasons I found out later. I had never, it was my first receptionist job from hospitality. So like, okay. You know, obviously that's like, and managers like, that's like Wild West of managers. Like, you know, you can take the lumps of weirdness.
Yeah, yeah.
But this one was the first one where I was like, okay, that's actually like bad. So like, for example, one time, she would get in trouble with her bosses and then she would kind of take it out on me, the two receptionists, me and Melissa.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and one time we were kind of chatting shit about it, being like, she's just like, why is she, she's asking me to do stuff. I was being like, yeah, just do that. And I was like, I already do that. Like, you're just saying
yeah.
that to say.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was an echo. So there was two receptions. There was one on the ground floor and one on the main floor where the thing was. And she messaged our group chat in the Slack going like, by the way, guys, just so you know, the stairs echo up so people can hear you when you're talking. So maybe just watch what you say when you're talking. So then we're just like, oh. But then,
what were you saying? You were bitching about her.
No, we were saying like she's taking it out on us and like, you know, it's not like,
yeah,
she's
like, fair. Yeah. You haven't actually but, said anything nasty.
But this is where the pettiness comes out, because I was just like, yeah, what's good? All right, are you gonna clear the because in my head I was like, okay, fine, it's gonna come from the meeting tomorrow, and then it just didn't, and that was all she said, and it was like this really weird thing. But basically, like, she was very chatty and she was very like approachable at work, but then would kind of use that against you. So like in my probation meeting, I made the 3 months, I think, and then she was like, we're going to extend it a little bit because you were late a couple of times, and I wanted to ask if maybe, you know, there's a company-sponsored therapist that you can go to if you want to talk through any issues. And what? I was like, because I was late.
Because you were late?
Because I was late. And I was like, setting me more appointments is probably a bad idea, actually. I'm not going to like... and we were there, and it was... What I found out later was that she had been... Her bosses had told her to get the therapist. But then...
So she now was like, everyone needs therapy.
Everyone needs therapy.
I'm being being late, it's probably like, oh, the boss are like... Yeah. You know, the tubes
or me being
up.
A piece of shit.
Sounds like you need therapy to fix that. The Northern Line was screwed up.
Was on you. Yeah, it's like, I was like, I could just be on time. And like, that would be, I don't think we have to get into it. But in my head, I was like, a company sponsored therapist is one of the most sinister concepts I can think of. Like, here's all the tips and tricks to keep me in line. Like, it was very, like, it was just very weird and like, very, like, I didn't do it. I didn't go to the therapy. And I didn't fucking go to the therapy. I don't need therapy.
Yes.
To grow. Yeah.
That's it. Men don't need therapy.
And not at
work. That's it, Dan. You've got the right idea.
Like, yeah. It was the. So that was the weirdest kind of. Because it was clearly like a principle or process or so something in the office. They were very like...
I like that it's like a one-size-fits-all. Like, someone's like, hey, you broke the photocopier. Therapy.
Therapy, right. Therapy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The therapist's like, do you think maybe if you figured out whatever's going on with your mother that you'd be able to just send out the right emails? Is that okay? Would you maybe do that? It sounds like you don't...
You BCC'd in the wrong person. I think you need to go talk to a therapist about
this. This was also a job where I got someone where you would do... So there was like 10 companies in this collective. So you would have to receptionist, like send out all this updates in the building and stuff. And I sent one out, and then my boss's boss sent me a reply. He's like, just wanted to say, great email, by the way. And I was just like, all right, what's your life? Great email? Like, oh, loved this one. Like, and it turned out later, I found out that they would send out, my boss would send out kind of memeier, funner emails of just like, what's up, gang? We're doing stuff.
Okay.
And they thought that was unprofessional. And I'd sent a more nuts and bolts, like, the door's broken kind of thing. And she was trying to be, I think, encouraging to be like, hey, just so you know.
Let's
just
keep
like,
up
yeah.
the basic professional tone you've managed
but it was,
to conquer.
But I was reading it as like, you're a loser. I don't like every email I receive is a nightmare, and like I've never enjoyed any email I've gotten, like, and you're like, great, hey, good one this week. Good stuff.
I actually had that once, but it was actually recently enough, and it was because I was like having to really complain about something. I was having to make a case, and someone who was, it was when I was talking about this about, I've been made redundant in my job, and I was having to like argue the redundancy because it is not really legal. And but I had someone like, you're allowed to have a, what is it called? Like your witness or your companion or something. Like a
your
colleague.
Ward.
Someone who's like on your team.
Yeah.
And the person I had on my team was quite senior. And anyway, so I sent this thing to HR because we were getting screwed around or whatever else. So I wrote out this email. She came back, she was like, that was such a good email.
But well, I think sometimes you do crush it. Sometimes you're like, I actually like, nailed it.
It was because it was like really formal to HR, and I was like outlining all of my issues.
All the
and
info
like
you need.
Whatever
yeah.
else. She is someone who works with me regularly, so knows that my general email style is much more like colloquial and friendly. Like, yeah, hi, I've got yeah. this attached. Can we get this? Can we get that? Whatever else.
Yeah.
So she was like, yo. She's yeah. like, you should have been a lawyer. I was honestly, like, okay, let's calm down. Let's settle the battle.
It was very that, and I think it was also because she was quite, I mean, that my boss could be a little bit out of control with some stuff. Like she was sleeping with one of the people. There was like a work, but they would have these big fights outside.
Dan!
I don't know if I should do this on my
maybe.
So
maybe we but they would on like, the Patreon.
But we had a so basically like I don't know what they would have. They had a relationship. They actually they had a relationship and
wait
I don't
who,
know how,
who?
The, my boss so the one who was
yeah the weirdo manager wants you my, to go my, therapy.
Yeah and she was
who
also
was she sleeping with.
Just like a guy that worked in one of the agencies. So she had been there like 5 years or so. And they had just had an on and off relationship. And I think it was weirdly like, I imagine it like Vicky Cristina Barcelona, where it's like just a really kind of weird, they would have these like yelling matches in at like work drinks. They would get like go outside and like yell at each other in the street.
Oh my God, I love it.
And I think they did actually, she got in trouble because I think they did have sex in the office one time and
reckon,
got caught.
This is my fault.
Got caught having sex in the office.
Do you reckon that's how
she was telling you to go to therapy?
Yeah, she,
do you think that's how they found out about the Echo?
Oh!
By the way, guys, if you're thinking about having sex in the office, there's an Echo, we can hear you.
Those slaps,
it was just like. But it was really like, it was, but I found out later that it was kind of.
You figured out what I meant. No, I knew what you meant. I'm thinking this poor fucking woman. Anyway.
She had she had left, she got fired basically while I was there. And then I think she's now actually a success. She was an artist the whole time. I think now she's actually, her art's kind of blowing up online, I think. So
yeah,
she's doing great.
She's got a story.
Yeah.
I was nice. So I'd buy a ticket.
But that was the most drama. Cause I later found out when she did get fired, everyone came out of the woodwork being like, yeah, she was kind of a nightmare, actually.
Because
I thought everyone liked her, because like I was new and like you know she was
you
kind
know.
Of it was a little picking like felt like picking on me energy and like but I thought everyone liked her, so I was like I don't know who to talk to about this because I don't know if it's like okay or not. And then everyone was like, oh yeah, she sucked. So that was probably it was a very liberal like let's talk about our feelings in the office kind of thing.
Clearly.
So we had there was a big thing. This is a total tangent, but they had work with Shell, the oil company, but they were also doing a carbon footprint campaign in the office of like literally put it on a screen when you get into the thing being like, measure your carbon footprint. And like I was just like, you know that was them, right? You know they made that up. These guys literally were trying to do work.
That was a marketing strategy put out by Shell.
Yeah, and then do you think they showed up because they really were gunning for this business? So basically like it was controversial because all the creatives were like, I don't want to work with Shell,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah.
But then I was wondering if the Shell guys turned up and like, oh yeah, nice, they believe that shit.
Yeah, they bought our bullshit.
And because they wanted to, again, I don't know if I can talk about this, but it's been long enough, the Statue of Limitations probably out, but they were trying to get into coffee, right, Shell, because they believe electric cars are going to become the norm in the next like 10 years.
They've
done the future cars thing and they've done all that, so they're like, we need to get into electric cars, so what's our angle? The thing is it takes 40 minutes end to end for an electric car to charge for full charge, so you make a nice boutique cafe at the electrical pump place, and then they were going like
evil geniuses.
They're going from one brown liquid to another. Like, they know exactly what they're doing. And
Dan's I can tell you how to make a coffee, a little Bovril in there. Yeah, really set things going.
Yeah. Wait till you see the multiple Bovril machine that Shell is launching when they make their pint pour. But it was and they all through the people who did work on it, they were like really gunning. Basically, it was like the executives were like, there's big money.
We want to get in the shell.
And I think what they said, the tagline, I remember the tagline because they told me and they were like, you couldn't tell people this, but I don't fucking care. And they were like, it's the stop that makes the journey. And I was like, guys, that's fucking terrible. That's every stop. That's nothing.
Yeah.
But they were really, it was a big, because I remember they literally told me, like when they arrive, be extra nice to the Shell people and stuff. Like, we need this too. Because I did wonder that. Sorry, I'm totally rambling, but you'd have to set up the meeting rooms with like biscuits and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did wonder if actually that was something that we were told, because we would get. My boss got in trouble because she got like party rings for the meeting, and she was like, "We need something with a little more sophistication,
A little more gravitas.
Can you get a fancier cookie than the party rings?" But I did wonder. Do you ever wonder like how big a business deal could be ruined because the biscuit selection was kind of mid, and they were they got to the do you know what I mean?
That is crazy. I do think party rings are mid though.
Yeah, they are.
No, what I like is that it's like it depends on the person, right? Because you're like, oh, fancy, and she's like, well, these were the. Oh, you only got these at parties when I was growing up.
This is a party. So we had to do a lot of that. So they were like, when it was the Shell people, they were like, get the nice pastries. Yeah. Get the nice pastries for Shell. And I was like, this sucks. Like, I don't want to do this. Like, yeah. So, but yeah, that was being a receptionist. Cool. Yeah.
Thanks. Right. On your job, what CV looks like? What job is the most like anomaly? What shouldn't be there? What's something that stands out against everything else? The anomaly.
On your CV. Yeah. What's the job that you've had that is like rogue, left field?
Yeah. There's been a lot of them. There's two that come to mind from the opposite. A lot of people are surprised to know I worked on a building site for like a year. Lifting dirt.
Oh, really?
They actually gave me.
I was expecting you to say receptionist again. Tracks.
It all ties together because when I was working at the Sam Smith pub, these builders would come in and they needed an extra pair of hands and they were like, well, how much do you want? And I was like, I don't know. And I was like 18, so I was like, I don't know, 13 quid an hour. And they're like, yeah, done, easy. And I was like, that's the most money I've ever seen ever.
Yeah, builders get paid so much more. Yeah, laborers get paid a lot more. You were lowballing yourself. Later.
Yeah, I know, because I was like, well, I thought, I looked the same. I turned up and then they gave me I got the digger. So basically, they gave me the
brief. Did you not have to do a safe pass?
No, they didn't give it to me. They didn't even give me glasses.
Oh, this was highly illegal.
They did. I had the glasses. Sorry. No, I did have the glasses, but they were like.
No, but a safe pass. Normally, before you go onto a building site, you have to do this course where it's basically like, hey, look out for holes. My brother worked on construction when they were younger. And have to go do like a one-day course and you get a pass.
What happened was they were tearing down. They were like, here's your room. You need to break up this room, take the dirt and stones out, and then chuck it in the skip. That was the whole job. So that was like my whole day, basically. And you got like a fraction of it done.
Nice.
But then he gave me the thing. And like, you know, when it's your first time in a building, so you're like, this is the thing I wanted to do the most. Like, and then it was literally, I swear, like the size of me. And I had because you still have that kind of like, it feels like you're a Ghostbuster or something.
Yeah.
And it was really, it was so much fun. But then the whole day was basically like carrying it out. And then also like they would go out and get like fried chicken for lunch, which was a whole, blew my mind that you could live like this. And I was like, and then you're done by 3. And then I think I literally had to go to do a shift at the pub right afterwards. Like, cause I just was working a lot cause I had nothing, I wasn't doing anything. They did, I don't mean to play into any stereotypes with builders, but they did love strip clubs. They did.
Yeah.
They were big. They kept asking me, like, where's the strip clubs at? Like,
Did they think you knew?
And I was like,
I'm not being funny.
These people need to have their eyes shut.
I was going to say.
They looked at you and went, you can
they
do
were
building.
Like, yeah,
you
yeah,
can
yeah,
do
yeah.
building. And then they also looked at you and thought, oh, that man's a strip club fanatic.
Listen, there's a lot of, I've lived many lives. It was very, I think there was one, because I grew up in Twickenham, so that was why you go to Twickenham Stadium. There was one called, I think, like the rugby. There was like it was called the piano, and it was called the home. They said the home of English rugby, like because I think they had the rugby, and it was quite like. Wow. I didn't realize
a
it.
Twickers.
But just to get
strip club.
Well, to validate what you guys are saying, I saw it and I thought it was a piano shop as a kid, because there's no windows, so you can't tell what's going on in there. But I sent them there, I think, because I knew it. So I was just like, oh, the pianos are great. Check out the piano, guys.
I'm a big fan of Wanda in the piano. Great girl.
Just naming different keys, naming different like musical terms.
My God.
Oh, percussive is great. Percussive playing tonight.
I hear dancicality is really good.
Get in there, ask for Forte. Yeah, she's great. Yeah. They basically would just work there, come into the pub, get drunk from like four, and then wake up the next morning and do the same. It was like, but it was just really, it was good money. Like it was, and then that led to more. I would do that on like sets and stuff. So I was like a runner a couple times on different sets. And like,
you don't get paid as well as a runner though.
No. Well, that was crazy. I mean, in terms of like feeling like you're being wined and dined, like, cause I came from the world of like, no lunch break and like you're scoffing down something really quick while you can. And then to go on I did 2 days on The Witcher, which was like, because needed someone last minute, and they give you like full Netflix meals where it's like a poached egg and a whole thing. And I just started like, they were like, just take the hour, don't worry about it. I just started weeping. I didn't know it could be like this.
I have rights.
Yeah, I don't need to go to therapy or anything like that. So that was a job people don't expect. And then the other weird job on my CV that I think is weird on my CV was I worked for a Twitter alternative platform. I was one of 20 interns they hired for a Twitter alternative platform called Newsmast, they described themselves as Twitter with the Wikipedia ethos, which was their thing of being it was based
on
this.
What is Wikipedia's ethos now that we think about it?
I mean, begging for money.
They were like, right away, that's what we're about. It was like, they wanted to be like...
Incorrect information?
Well, it was the weirdest thing. I actually got fired from that job as well. They fired us over Zoom. It was quite exciting because that was in the news. And then it happened to me in real life. So I lived the tech dream of being fired over Zoom. And because basically what they wanted to do was... They wanted to be like the kind of progressive, well-informed version of Twitter. It's like, this is all the information. That's
okay, so like fact
check. The last
bastion Twitter
of like news and like, kind of trying to... It was when I think Twitter had just become X, and they were like, it was a hellfire, and like they wanted to protect. And for some reason, everyone was fucking being like, Twitter is worth saving. This bastion of thing we need. And I would just research different people and then find their emails and then... invite them if they wanted to be a creator on the platform. That was basically the whole job, and you could do it remotely. It was just going through spreadsheets of different people finding.
And were you paid as an intern?
That was paid. Yeah, but not very much. It was like similarly low paid, but like because you're not commuting, you know, just make. So it was like that was just a really weird job, but like it wasn't very successful, I don't think, because like, but they wouldn't.
I've never heard of it. So
the owner just kept being, or the creator. Like we went to this. They rented an office in London and then had a launch event for it to welcome us in, but he didn't really inspire us. Like if it's a startup, you feel like, oh, sell me your dream and like we'll go. But he was really like, yeah, we're just gonna do that, and there you go, all right, sweet. Like it was like, it was very hands off, and it was very like weird, and it wasn't good. Like it was kind of like,
yeah, it didn't sound like it was. How long were you there?
Like 6 months, 8 months maybe. Okay. It was like a renewable contract, so like we were supposed to be there, they were going to launch in 6 weeks, and then it took longer, so then it was an extra 6 weeks, and then the second 6 weeks iteration, that's when I got fired because I had to go to a wedding, and I think they meant, and because I thought I could go when I was like, well, I wouldn't be working because the contract's not being renewed, and then it was, and they were like, well, you went to that wedding, so we fired you.
Fucking Christ.
But it was they literally had like a team in Malaysia doing all the tech stuff, and then so that was just a weird, I think I look at that now, I was like, was clearly like the most low rent like startup of like 20 interns, clearly just getting people to hire and fire basically. And then there was people who were who wanted in, who had like pitched stuff and being like, here's what Newsmall should do, who'd become designers and later and stayed on, but I was like, I'm out, I don't want to do
this. Fair. Sounds like the right move. Okay, so in hindsight of all the jobs you've done, which would you say you have like learned the most from, or like have which has been the most useful?
I think I would say if it was anything I've learned, it would be good phone voice and like good customer service facing. Because I did a lot of, when you're a receptionist, you have to just like, hello, I'm Ski Partners. Like that.
Yes.
And that's quite a fun, that's a usable trait. That's a usable skill.
Learning how to do that.
Yeah.
Nice.
That would be that's all I've learned. Just had to change my voice an octave higher. Yeah. But
A whole octave?
A whole octave, yeah.
Hey, that's Stagecoach. Paid off in the end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Came
that
back
kind of
around.
Voice control. That kind of,
Yeah. Pat Amorays and octave changes.
Literally.
Well, thank you so much for being on our
thank
podcast.
Thank you.
Then.
Thank you for having me. This has been so much fun. I really love doing it.
You are doing your debut show, Boss Boy.
Yes, Boy Boss.
Boy Boss.
Yeah.
Boy
the,
Boss.
The final Boy Boss, on the 11th of November at Canal Cafe Theatre. It's 8 p.m. We still have tickets. There's still tickets available. Kieran Sagu, the great Kieran Sagu, is opening. So you get
great.
Those two.
Yeah. Kieran's
so
great.
It's £10 tickets. And we're filming it too, so we're trying to pack it out. So we'd love to have...
Everyone should come.
Have
you should go.
There.
It's brilliant.
Yes.
So enjoy.
Excited.
Thank
can't
you.
Wait.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Yeah. So please buy tickets.
The wonderful Daniel McKeown, everybody.
What an angel.
What a little precious baby.
And do you see what we mean by odd jobs?
We were fucking padabaraying. We were pulling pints, making coffee, receptionist, on construction.
On a building site.
On a what was that little chap doing on a if you're only listening to this podcast, you absolutely have to go and look. I think we mentioned like his dapper outfit and stuff. Please go look on Patreon or on YouTube so that you can see the general physique of Dan to understand how poorly it was a decision to make to put that poor chap on a building site.
Well, he seemed like he thrived.
Well, for the little, yes, sure. I'm honestly glad he didn't die, left with a jackhammer and just himself, no training.
Crazy.
Wonderful. Also, the 11th of November, this is, if you're listening to this podcast the day it's come out, it is a week today.
Mm-hmm.
Go the, where is it? The River Cafe? I can't remember where. Isn't it?
It was like Canal.
River Canal. The Canal Cafe. I can't remember what it's called. I do know the venue. I can't remember what it's called. It's in near Paddington. Dan's, is it Boss Baby or Boy
it's
Boss?
It's Boy Boss.
Boy Boss. I get it mixed up with Boss Baby. Yeah. That's the film.
I keep calling it Boy Baby Boss.
Boy Baby Boss. Anyways, his wonderful show was genuinely Ruby Scene. I'm hoping to go I've got a gig, but we're going to figure it out timing wise and I'll be there. So if you want to come, you'll see me. We'll see his wonderful show. He's filming it. It's genuinely really great. So everyone, and if you don't, go follow Dan on all socials because he is a great comedian.
Yeah. Otherwise, I think that's it for this episode.
Well, speaking of socials, go follow us on socials.
Oh, my God.
Ruby.
Yeah. Ruby vroom vroom.
Kat Higgins Comedy and The Odd Jobs Podcast.
Yeah.
And
I'm so bad at the social media.
Oh, we have a show. We have a show. We have a show. Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
We have a show. You need to come to see our show. If you thought, November, what a quiet month. Scratch that off your list. 11th of November, you got to go see Dan McKeown. The 24th of November.
26th, actually.
26th of November. God. I know where it is, though. It's the Rosemary Branch Theatre.
Yeah.
On Wednesday. I know it was a Wednesday. Wednesday, the
Please,
26th.
You have to come because we
Please
might
come.
Not be there.
Yeah,
we might fuck up.
Might go to the wrong place on the wrong day. Who knows? But we're doing a preview of both of our new shows. We're both developing new shows. It's going to be really, really great and fun. I'm very, very excited. So again, follow us. Links are in our bios. Buy your tickets. And we'll see you next week for another wonderful episode of the Odd Jobs Podcast.
See you then. Bye.
Bye.